is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, I wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, this is Travis Schwab, head men's basketball coach at Muskingum University, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering Hoopheads listeners 15% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code HHP15 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its playbank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball. Hello and welcome to an emergency episode of the Hoopheads podcast. It's a Spider emergency.
Spider emergency. Mike, I know you and I talked right when it happened. I think you were in utter shock when I called you and said Donovan Mitchell is a member of the Cleveland Cavaliers. We've had some time to think about it, learn about all the intricacies of the trade. I am sold, Mike. Sold. 100% sold. Okay.
All right.
I just think...
Lay out your case.
You are going to have possibly four All-Stars on a team this year. You have the opportunity to have four people who can play, and if someone gets hurt, you're going to have three people still, like, able to do things. Your lineup, now the only small forward is the question mark, but honestly, Lauri Markkanen is not a small forward. Like, so I think putting Okoro in there at the small forward position makes the most sense right now. But the fact that you're going to have the potential for a starting lineup to include Garland, Mitchell, Mobley, Allen, and probably Okoro, like, all those players can, you know, with Okoro is obviously the weakest on the offensive end of the floor, but what he lacks in offense will be made up in the defensive end with the three protecting the hoop. And while Garland and Mitchell aren't necessarily known for their defensive prowess, I think they have a chance to be the number three seed in the Eastern Conference and make some noise, and that's within 1 year. And not to mention, by the way, Rubio's had 3 or 4 years in Utah playing with Donovan, so when he comes back, he knows how Mitchell's going to play. You've got Kevin Love, who arguably coming off his best season since 2016, off the bench again. You've got Caris LeVert, who I don't think he ever got a fair shake. He kind of got thrown in the middle of the craziness, like everyone was expecting him to be Rubio. Well, now he's going to have a more defined role. And, oh, we still got Sideshow Bob. I'm excited about Sideshow Bob. We got to include Robin Lopez in this. Like, I genuinely think that the Cavs, listen, they were in the situation where we're not going to wait for what-ifs. We're not going to think, as much as I've been talking about, oh, he's coming back. He's clearly not. He just signed a 2-year extension. LeBron's not coming back anytime soon. They had to do something because you're not going to attract a free agent. Okay, so Sexton, I'm not paying him. He was going to get a qualifying offer, and there was nothing else the Cavs were going to give him. And the bottom line is this: we weren't getting anyone else. We made a trade. Mitchell's better than Sexton, I think you and I agree on that, right? You agree with that, right?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. The other thing, like, Donovan Mitchell's opportunity, I mean, he's a top 15, top 20 player in the NBA. Agree?
Are you asking?
I'm asking you. Do you agree or disagree with that statement?
Top 20.
Top 20. Okay. So, you theoretically, let's say the first year is an adjustment process, okay? You theoretically, in Evan Mobley's third year, could have three of the top 25 players in the NBA. Fast forward to next year. Is Mobley possibly a top 25 player in the NBA? Possibly.
Are you,
I'm saying possibly.
Are you asking?
Yeah, I'm asking.
I think that this trade has to signal that the Cavs believe that he's going to be at least at that level, if not much, much, much higher. I don't know how soon, but I think this trade clearly signals that they believe that Evan Mobley is going to become one of the best players in the league. That's what I think.
Yeah, well, this tweet right here, the Cavs have three All-Stars under the age of 26 and none of them are Evan Mobley. like, insane. It's insane. Like, it's nuts. I mean, I genuinely, like, I don't know what's your overall thoughts? I know you are not necessarily the most pleased in the world at first. I don't know if you've shifted your thoughts after reading things or if you're still in the same mindset or what's your thought, Mike?
My initial thought when I heard it was ugh. That was my initial thought, in all honesty. And the reason why that was my initial thought is you look at the draft capital that we gave up. And again, draft capital does not necessarily translate into good players. There's no guarantee that any of those draft picks that we gave up or the pick swaps that we gave up are going to turn into a player who's going to be as good as Donovan Mitchell. And the odds would probably tell you that Donovan Mitchell's going to be better than any one of the players picked with any of those three unprotected selections or the two pick swaps. My question, at least initially as I hear it, is Donovan Mitchell the right guy for this team? And that's what I looked at. Is the fit of Donovan Mitchell the right fit for this team? And when I initially heard you call me and said, here's the parameters of the trade, my initial thought was, ooh, I'm not sure that I want Donovan Mitchell. You're basically getting a rich man's Colin Sexton. Similar size, I would say a similar offensive profile from a standpoint of a guy who is a smallish shooting guard, a guy whose best skill is scoring, who hasn't been a great distributor throughout his career. But I just didn't know. My initial thought was, I'm not sure I like the fit, and I'm not sure that I like giving up all the draft capital that we gave up. Plus, you basically gave up this year's number one draft pick in trading Agbaji. Losing Markkanen doesn't hurt me in any way, shape, or form.
I thought you were... I know, I'm sorry.
I mean, look, it's kind of the idealized version, the theoretical best version
theoretical.
Of Mark, the theoretical Lauri Markkanen, I think makes for an interesting front line. But the reality is losing Markkanen doesn't hurt you that much. And Sexton wasn't a part of the team's success last year. And there's a part of me that would have liked to see what he could do in a winning environment, which he hasn't been a part of yet as a Cleveland Cavalier, and which he will now never be a part of as a Cleveland Cavalier. So it felt like we gave up an awful lot to get a guy who, as we've talked about on the podcast numerous times, there are very few guys who are capable of being the best player on a championship team. And it felt like giving up the number of picks that we did that seems like what you should give up for a guy who has the potential of being the best player on a championship team. So that was my initial thought. You traded a lot to get a guy who I think his ceiling is the second best player on a championship team, maybe even the third best. So what this tells me is that it goes to your question earlier about Evan Mobley. I think what this says is we have Evan Mobley on a rookie contract. We think Evan Mobley is going to be really, really, really good. Now, what that means, you and I talked a lot last year, is Evan Mobley's ceiling to be one of the five best players in the league? I think that's realistic with what he can do on the defensive end of the floor and the flashes of what we saw from him last year. I think that that's the ceiling. Now, he may not get there, but I said it before this trade, and I'm going to make the same statement again. The best version of this Cavaliers team, even with these four guys as four potential all-stars, I think we can probably, maybe I'm wrong, but I don't foresee the Cavs having four all-stars. I'm pretty sure that Jared Allen probably isn't going to be a perennial all-star. Maybe I'm wrong, but I'm not sure he's going to be a perennial all-star. But nonetheless,
when we go on the all-star break, when we go into the all-star break, 42-3, we're going to have four all-stars.
Okay,
I'm just kidding.
Okay, no, I'm just kidding.
I'm joking.
Calm down. Calm down over there. No,
I'm just joking. I'm joking.
Evan Mobley, I feel like the Cavs are only going to reach their potential when Evan Mobley's their best player. If Evan Mobley becomes their best player at some point while these four guys are on the roster, then this becomes a championship team. If Donovan Mitchell or Darius Garland is the Cavs' best player 4 years from now, then this will still be a very, very good team, but it's not a championship team. It only becomes a championship team in my mind when Mobley becomes the best player. And I think the trade signals that the Cavs think that that potential for Evan Mobley is there sooner rather than later. And most of what I've read in the intervening time between when you shared the news with me at 3:30 and now tonight at 12:10 a.m. on Friday morning, most of what I've read, the hesitancy from most experts that are out there seems to be the fact that they're worried that Donovan Mitchell signed for 3 years, which is, you got a 26-year-old or 25-year-old all-star under contract for three additional years. There's a lot of talk out there that the Cavs gave up too much with the idea that Mitchell might leave after 3 years. Now, if the report from Brian Windhorst is correct that you also sent to me, that I heard him actually say live on the radio when I was driving home, that Mitchell got the news on the golf course and when he found out that Garland, Allen, and Mobley were not in the trade and he was going to a team with all three of those guys still remaining on the roster, that he was running around the golf course screaming with excitement. If that's true, then if this thing goes well, then it doesn't seem like, at least he's not averse to the idea of coming and playing in Cleveland. And so you would have to think that this team, maybe they don't win a championship in the next 3 years, but this team's going to be very, very, very competitive. I have to believe that they're going to be a top four team in the East for the foreseeable future at worst. And so could you then convince Donovan Mitchell to re-sign long-term? And I was just reading something right before we jumped on talking about the fact that because Mitchell got traded to Cleveland, that he won't be eligible for a Supermax extension and that he would then... That he'd then make more money by... I mean, not necessarily. I mean, I guess theoretically, but if Mitchell wants to...
Well, theoretically, because we can only have two max players, right? So,
you can only have two players on the designated rookie extension. And right now you have Mitchell and you have Garland. I think the timeline, if I'm not mistaken, I think Mobley would be eligible for that extension.
2 years. After two more seasons.
But while Garland and Mitchell are still both on their designated rookie supermax extension, which means that the Cavs could not offer that to Evan Mobley. Now, that's not to say that the collective bargaining agreement is probably going to be renegotiated by then, and you're going to have new TV money coming in. So I'm not sure that the Cavs are ever going to have to really deal with that. But most of the negativity that I've seen around the trade of people that are negative is some version of the fact that, hey, Mitchell could leave Cleveland. And I don't think you can go into the trade and say, hey, we can't do it because Mitchell's going to leave Cleveland. I think you have
You're pushing all your chips in the table here, Mike. This is
your move. So my initial reaction was, ugh. I feel like I've come around. I'm not sure that I'm head over heels in love with this deal, but I do think
we're better, right, Mike? We're better, right, Mike?
We're clearly better. We're clearly much better at this point. At this point, you've jumped at least one tier in the NBA's Eastern Conference. So I think previously you probably would have put the Cavaliers in a tier with the Atlanta Hawks, the Toronto Raptors. I think those are probably the teams that, if you're the Cavs, that you're looking at and that you're competing with. And I think now you've probably jumped into that tier with, in my mind, Miami and Philadelphia. You're probably, and the Nets, depending upon what you feel the Nets are or aren't. I would say we're probably, based on what you and I have talked about, I'm not sure the Nets are even in that Atlanta Hawks, Toronto Raptors tier, but whatever. I don't think that this pushes the Cavs simply because of the youth of Evan Mobley and Garland. I don't think it pushes you up to equal footing with the Bucks or the Celtics, but
what about Miami?
I think you're right there with Miami. I think the question is, though, and what's interesting is that obviously having Jared Allen and Evan Mobley defensively to make up for the size in your backcourt and two players who are
6'1".
Yeah, 6'1". And at best, at this point, I would say at best adequate on defense, and at worst, maybe a little suspect on defense. You can make up for what those guys bring on the offensive end of the floor because you have Mobley and Allen to back them up defensively. I think that it's a win. It's not as big of a concern as what it might be. I think what the Cavs are looking at is you still have a hole where other teams in the Eastern Conference have strengths in terms of who do the Cavs put on, who guards some of the big apex forwards on these really good Eastern Conference teams. So who guards Jimmy Butler? Who guards Jason Tatum? Who guards Giannis? And the answer probably is
Okoro,
Mobley,
right?
I'm guessing, or Okoro.
Okoro, Mobley, yeah.
But Mobley's going to get an opportunity, I think, at some point. And you're probably right. You probably start Okoro on him, and because you still want to keep Mobley and Jared Allen close to the basket and as rim protectors. But I think that's the hole that the Cavs have to fill, is they have to find a guy with some playoff experience, preferably a veteran 3-and-D guy. I think, if I'm not mistaken, the Cavs have, I think they still have like $10 million that they could use this year. I don't know if I read that correctly or where I saw that, but I feel like I read that somewhere. Again, I don't know what's out there or who's out there, but that's the position where they could use a guy who can defend and a guy who could shoot. And you just need somebody to match up with some of those bigger small forwards, power forwards in the Eastern Conference.
I don't think we have any money left.
But or maybe it's next year. I don't know. Nonetheless, I think basically what you're looking at is,
well, next that, year, I'm going to guess that you're right. It's got to be next year because Love's contract will be up next year, so it'll correct. be it'll be
It'll be
you have Love and Care and LeVert's contract.
We're 48 million over the current cap, by the way. So he's going to be paying in the luxury tax. So
I think that when you look at the overall dynamics of this trade, Mitchell makes you better. I don't think there's any question about that. I think he vaults you into a tier where you can realistically start talking about being a top four seed in the East. And depending upon the development of Evan Mobley, you can look at yourself and I think realistically convince yourself that this team could be an Eastern Conference finalist as early as this year. And whether or not they get to the next level beyond that, where they can make the finals or potentially win the finals, I think that depends and hinges. At this point, it all entirely hinges on Mobley's development, because Mitchell may get marginally better. Darius Garland may end up getting marginally better. Jared Allen may end up getting marginally better. The guy who has the biggest leap to make of those four is Mobley. And if Mobley becomes your best player at 7 foot, and he's a guy who becomes a fulcrum of your offense and you can run things through him, and then you have Garland and Mitchell on the perimeter as shot creators, and you've got Allen holding down the middle on both ends of the floor, now you've got something. I mean, they have something even if Mobley doesn't take that extraordinary leap, but if he does, this team could be really, really, really good. And in the short term, let's face it, adding Donovan Mitchell makes this team fun. I mean, this is going to be a fun team to watch,
dude,
if they can stay healthy.
All the national pundits are excited to watch the Cavs play. I mean, they were excited to watch them last year, but like, I know I sent you Russillo's tweet. He's like, the Cavs are going to be fun to watch. And Kevin O'Connor, the Cavs are going to be a blast to watch this year. Zach Lowe's kind of under a rock again. I don't know what's everything's going all right with him, but he hasn't really been involved with anything. I wonder what he would think and say. And I'm going to guess that, I don't
it
know.
Said, Sim- well, Zach Lowe, just so you know, I was looking at his Twitter, and he said he put out a podcast today, but it hasn't popped up. He said he was having trouble with Apple Podcasts, because I'm gonna quote Zach's tweet here. It says, this is 2 hours ago, recorded a few hours ago, Low Post Podcast, Bobby Marks and I dissect the Donovan Mitchell trade, Cavs outlook, whether the New York Knicks blew it and what they may have offered and what it means for Russ and the Lakers. So it sounds like it might be available on Spotify, but it looks like he was having some trouble on...
Okay. Well, I had checked earlier, and the last time he had tweeted was July 30th. So it's
I think he was on vacation, right? He goes over to Croatia, I believe. With his wife's family or something. So anyway, but supposedly there's a new podcast out. Now, I was looking because I was trying to find our episode that went up at 10 p.m. It still wasn't showing up on Apple Podcasts, even though it's showing up elsewhere. So our Thursday episode. So
It's not showing up right now. I'm looking as well. So
I don't know if Apple is doing some work on their app or what's happening. But it'll be out there eventually. But ours still isn't up, and it doesn't look like Zach's is up. At least it's not popping up on my feed. So I'll try to find it somewhere. But anyway, I think the bottom line for me is my initial reaction was you gave up too much for a guy who's not the best player on a championship team. As the day has worn on and as I've thought about it a little bit more, Donovan Mitchell is a guy that is an established star in the NBA. He's a guy who has had multiple 40-point, 50-point games in playoff series. And so that's the type of guy that just doesn't end up in Cleveland. And the only way you get him is by making a trade like this. And I think what the Cavs are saying is, if we're really trying to win a championship, then we need more guys who can play at this level. And I really think it signals that they think that Evan Mobley can be the guy. Because if you just think Evan Mobley is going to be pretty good, then I don't think this trade makes sense. But if you think 2 years from now, Evan Mobley can be one of the 10 best players in the league, then this is a champ. This is a championship core for sure. If Evan Mobley becomes a top 10 player in the league, because you look at the way Mitchell and Garland can score, the way they can handle the ball. So you're looking at multiple end of game options, multiple fourth quarter options, and you have two of the best rim protecting bigs in the game, combined with the dynamic offense that Mitchell and Garland can provide on the other end. And then if you're talking again about Mobley becoming one of the 10 best players in the league, then you're talking about him taking a huge leap offensively. Suddenly this team becomes pretty formidable on both ends of the both sides of the ball, especially if you can get that 3-and-D veteran wing guy that we talked about earlier, whoever that may be.
Yep. The other thing too, Mike, is I don't think anyone's really talked about it, but I really look forward to seeing what Bickerstaff comes up with and things, because I really like him a lot as a coach. I think he did a really great job last year, especially after everything that happened the year before and him coming in and midseason and whatnot and really just taking the mantle. And then last year I thought he did great. And I'm really looking forward to seeing it, because if he can just tap into all these guys' strengths, I really think it's going to be something special to watch this year. I'm really, really excited about it. And once again, just want to reiterate, like, having Love come off the bench, have LeVert coming off the bench, having, you know, eventually having Rubio come off the bench. I mean, that's going to be huge for the Cavs down at times, because, you know, if we need to give, if Garland needs a day off, you know, we're going to have, now we don't have to worry about it. Cause like, listen, last year, Mike, when you and I were talking, and when Garland had his back thing going on and he sat out, you and I were like, ooh, they're not going to win tonight, because when he wasn't on the floor, and that was after Rubio's injured, the ball movement was just not like there. But now you think about it, now you're going to have Donovan Mitchell on the floor, or, you know, one or the other, they're not going to sit out both games unless they're both hurt. So I just think, I mean, it's going to be huge.
Well, yeah, take it one step further, right? I mean, it's not only just if a guy gets injured and he misses games, just talk about minute by minute, right?
Yeah.
If you stagger their minutes and you say one of these two guys for 48 minutes is going to be on the floor, so you always have high-level shot creation from one of those two guys, and for however many minutes you're going to play them together, you have them both on the floor. That looks pretty good. It looks certainly much better than what the Cavs offense looked like when Darius sat last year, where it basically cratered and they had a really hard time creating anything. Now you have two guys who can get their own shot at any time. And Garland became an elite passer, one of the best passers in the league last year. And although I don't think Mitchell is on that level,
well, he averaged 7 assists a game, and that was the most in his career.
He's a better passer. He's certainly a better passer. He's a score first guy. He has a scorer's mentality, which is fine. That's a good guy to pair with Garland. He's a millionaire's version of Colin Sexton. He does a lot of the similar things that Sexton does. I think he just does it at a higher level as a more proven player player. He's won. And he's done it in the playoffs. So adding him to these three guys, we talked about it all of last year that the Cavs had three young guys that they wanted to build around. And when we talked about building around them, I think you and I at the time were assuming that they were going to be building around the draft and trying to put together a team that could grow with those guys. But to be able to acquire Donovan Mitchell, who's 25, he's going to turn 26, I think, in the next week or so, fits the timeline. When these guys are all in their mid to late 20s, they're going to all be in their mid to the late 20s together. And at a minimum, you've got them all together for three more seasons, including this coming one. And so there's time to figure it out, at least theoretically. I guess if things went south, we all know that contract lengths, at least in this iteration of the NBA, don't mean a whole lot. So a disgruntled star can start advocating to make his way out of a particular city or situation at any point, but indications are at least that initially Mitchell's excited. And if this team stays healthy, I just don't see any way where they're not a winning team that starts knocking on the door of at least making it to the conference finals. And if you're doing that, you're a break or two away from getting to the NBA finals and possibly winning it. And if, like I said, to me, it hinges on Mobley. If Mobley develops and he becomes the best player on this team, then this is a championship team. If he doesn't, it's still going to be a very good, very entertaining team, a fun team to watch. And so I've come around on it.
Yeah. I agree. I was going to say, Mike, so I'll do a little looking ahead of the schedule here. Just looking at the schedule. And I think I think the first 2 weeks of the season are going to be interesting. Playing Toronto and playing Chicago. So Chicago, second game of the season against Chicago. Then we get Boston week two. We have Boston twice in week two. And then we go on a West Coast swing. Lakers, Clippers, Sacramento, Golden State. That's going to be interesting. And then it's the matchup everyone's waiting for. Minnesota. Gobert versus Mitchell. That might get flexed to a national TV game.
Maybe.
It's a Sunday 6 o'clock game. That might get flexed to a national TV game right there.
Yeah. Well, I think the other thing that is beneficial, and I guess I really wasn't thinking about it until you started reading off the schedule, but oftentimes deals like this happen mid-season where you don't have any time to practice or go through training camp or do anything. So the fact that this deal got done now, when it got done, enables the Cavs to come into training camp and have Bickerstaff put together the game plan and figure out what they're going to do and be able to work together and actually have time on the practice floor to be able to gel and figure out how this thing is going to work, as opposed to making this same deal in February where you bring in a guy that you got to teach him on the fly and things never really get settled until the following offseason. So I like the timing of the deal. I'm still not 100% sure that it's a perfect fit, but I think when you're an NBA franchise in the city of Cleveland, you can't afford to sit on your hands and wait for the perfect fit. It's not going to happen. You're not a glamour market. So when the opportunity arises, you have to pounce on it and give Kobe Altman a ton of credit. I do think that this was a deal that they had to do if it was out there and available to them, which obviously it was. And I think by bringing in Mitchell, the core of those four guys, it seems like the path to legitimate contention, you can see that path now. You can see the path. The path is Mobley continues to develop, eventually becomes a top 10, top 5 player in the league, and you build around the periphery of the roster, and that's the formula. That's the formula. I don't know if it'll come to fruition, but that's the formula. And I think at this point, you have to say that it's, despite my initial reaction, I think it was worth the risk, because you become completely relevant with Donovan Mitchell. You're a top four seed in the East, and your goal this year is you want to try to make the conference finals. That to me would be that's what they should be shooting for. I mean, obviously they're going to try to win every game, but that's I think a realistic outcome for this team.
Yeah. I agree. So
anything else?
That's it. There's our podcast, our emergency podcast. I'm glad we did it, Mike. We hung in there tonight.
Podcast number three. It is now 12:32 a.m. I have been talking and conducting interviews since 8:30 p.m. So this is my fourth hour of podcasting. So please forgive me if anything was said incorrectly or mistakes were made. I don't think there were, though. I think we did pretty well.
No, you did a great job. You did an admirable job. And I'm excited to talk about this. I'm excited to just I mean, I don't know. We're probably still going to be talking about this on Tuesday, I feel, when we do our next NBA pod. But because maybe we'll have some time to like really think about it, and maybe they'll have an introductory press conference and we can dissect that nonsense. Win the win the press conference, because that's what the Browns always do, is win the press conference. So
That's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. All right. Well, on that note, welcome to Cleveland, Donovan Mitchell. We are glad that you are here. I'm excited to watch this team. I think it'll be a fun addition, and I think it's potentially a long-term winner for the Cleveland Cavaliers. So let's wait and see. We will find out. We will be back with you live on Tuesday for our next NBA pod. And we've got a couple of good episodes coming up as far as interviews go. So make sure you check those out. And that's it. Thanks to everyone for listening. And we will catch you on our next episode.
Thanks.
Your first impression is everything when applying for a new coaching job. A professional coaching portfolio is the tool that highlights your coaching achievements and philosophies, and most of all, helps separate you and your abilities from the other applicants. The Coaching Portfolio Guide is an instructional membership-based website that helps you develop a personalized portfolio. Each section of the Portfolio Guide provides detailed instructions on how to organize your portfolio in a professional manner. The guide also provides sample documents for each section of your portfolio that you can copy, modify, and add to your personal portfolio. As a Hoopheads Pod listener, you can get your Coaching Portfolio Guide for just $25. Visit coachingportfolioguide.com/hoopheads to learn more.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.